You have your Bibles. Let's turn to that passage we just read, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We usually, and we are following suit with that, deal with stewardship in the month of January. This is a great month for us to make sure that we are considering the right priorities regarding the things of this life. And when we talk about stewardship, stewardship involves so much. It involves those things that we have, such as our time. And the Bible tells us that we are to redeem the time, for the days are evil. It involves our talents, that we should be good stewards of the talents God's given us. And when we talk about stewardship, we're talking about management. We need to know how to manage our time. We need to know how to manage our talents. We need to know how to manage our treasures. And of course, that includes so many things. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit this morning. And I've entitled the message, Where is Your Treasure? Where is your treasure? And if we want to get a good sense of what the Bible tells us and what Jesus says regarding our treasures, we have come to the very key passage that deals with this. Last week we dealt with Luke, and we talked about how in Luke chapter 12 that Jesus said to beware of covetousness, and for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And we said there's two reasons why we should be careful about coveting. And of course, we define coveting as lusting after that which God has not given us the permission to have. And that lusting involves to want that which God does not give us. That's why when Jesus said, or when the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not covet, it talks about coveting your neighbor's wife. Obviously, you do not have the right to your neighbor's wife. That's why you should not covet that, or to lust after that. Now, Jesus, in talking about that, gives even more intense idea behind that when he says that if a man looks upon a woman to lust after her, he has committed adultery already. So it's not just simply committing the act. It has the idea of that which is a wrongful desire. And the scripture tells us that we need to not covet. And two reasons. Number one, you do not know about your eternity. And the scripture in Luke chapter 12 tells us that in eternity, you are not going to live forever. So he tells the story of a man who built his barns, got all his possessions, and then he died. Secondly, we saw a neighboring passage to the passage we just read in Luke chapter 12 regarding the fact that God will take care of us. And so, therefore, we should not covet because God will take care of it. Don't worry about those things that you don't have. God will provide for you. And the deliverance of that, and I'm just reviewing a little bit, is to seek God first, to make sure that you have the right opinion about God's teaching on giving and having the understanding of our eternity. Now, that really brings us, and it dovetails into what I'm showing you this morning. Now, we said that we have to understand our treasures. Now, that key verse that we gave you in verse 24 talks about a thing called mammon. What is mammon? Well, mammon is your wealth. And of course, from a more simpler stated fact, it's your money. Now, it tells us that that we cannot serve God and mammon. Now, the word serve there means to be a bond slave. You cannot at the same time serve money and at the same time serve God. You cannot do it. It's an impossibility. He said, well, I can multitask. But you know, if you are a bond servant to someone, that means you have given them your total submission. You cannot submit to money and God at the same time. So he goes on and says, don't worry about money. But the passage I want to look at is in verses 19 through 24. And this is really a key passage on our treasures. I want to show you why. If you look at verse 19, you'll see the word treasures. That's a noun. So he says, lay not up for yourself treasures. Verse 20. But then he turns right around and says, but lay up for yourselves treasures. So you have that second time it's stated there. The third time you'll see it, and you can underline treasures in verse 19, verse 20, but you can also underline treasure in verse 21, where your treasure is. Now, you may not be aware of this, because there's two more times that word treasure is mentioned in verses 19 and 20, but it is not translated treasures. Why? Because it's a verb. It's the verb of the very same word that's translated the noun treasures. And the verb is the words lay up. So in other words, you'll see in verse 19, and you could circle that or underline it, lay not up. In other words, don't treasure your treasures. That's the idea of that word. And you'll also see it in verse 20. But lay up or treasure, this is the verb form of the very same word that is translated treasures. So lay up or treasure your treasures. Now we have to ask the question, what is a treasure? What is your treasure? What is a treasure? Now, a treasure is something of value. And if an object is worth something to you, it has value. And if it has value, it is a treasure. How many have ever heard the expression that one person's junk is another person's treasure? So you go to a yard sale. Now, hopefully not today. But you go to a yard sale, and all the stuff's in their garage. And you go up to the husband and say, how much do you want this for this? And he says, I want you to just take it. I don't want this. And his wife nudges him. And she says, we'll take $25 for that. Now, why would he say, this is just junk? He's got so much stuff. It's in his way. It's causing him to have to step around it. He can't put his new car in that garage because that stuff is in his way. So, to him, it's junk. But you're there. Man, I've been looking for this all my life. $25, I'll buy it. And he's saying, good riddance. Because what was one man's junk is another person's treasure. I like getting treasures. It's fun when you get something, you really wanted one of those. When I first got married, we bought so much stuff cheap because we were broke. We were just so broke. And you know, you get a lawnmower. May take 15, 20 times to pull the thing to start it, but man, it started. That's so much better than taking scissors. And so you get this stuff, buy tools, and you get these things, and it's wonderful. Why? Because it's something that you treasure. Now I'm at the point where I want to get rid of some of those things. So if you're interested, let me know. So here is the thing. A treasure is something that may not be valuable to everybody else, but it's valuable to you. You know, I have memory files. Now, those are pretty valuable files to me. You know, I have my dad's death certificate in there and my mother's death certificate. And, you know, and there's things that, I remember we went on this trip, or some little child comes up to me, and it's so precious. I want to give you this. And it's a, you know, a little man, and colored all over it. And it's really a very poor coloring job, but they're only four, so that's all they could do. And they, I want you to have this. And I said, oh, thank you very much. And I'll put that in my, you know, gifts from many little friends. So that's valuable to me. If I were to open that file and say, you want this? You'd say, I don't need that. See, there are things that are very, very valuable. Today I want to study three truths in this passage of Scripture that talk about things we value. First of all, we see the contrast of treasures here. The contrast of treasures, verses 19 and 20. Now, it's very easy to see this because Jesus gives us in verse 19 what he describes as treasures on earth. Treasures on earth. See, that's why he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. And he says that these are earthly possessions we value. And we put a price on these things. And all of us have material possessions that are valuable to us. How many of you found that a coat was pretty valuable to you this morning? Okay? You know, certainly you did. You know, and, you know, I find it fascinating that you know, we like our stuff. You know, so we, you know, and you might even have a nice-looking coat that makes a fashion statement, but it keeps you warm. Now, my question to you is this. Do you value that? It's a treasure on earth. Now, one of the things that you're going to see here is when he says treasuring your treasures, there's a contrast here between this and things you really need. You know, when he talks about in verses 25 to 34, God will provide all your needs. Don't worry about it. If you need shelter, if you need clothing, he'll take care of you. But here he's talking about treasuring your treasures. You know, in other words, we're talking about superfluous stuff, stuff that even goes beyond what we need. Now, we're very rich, aren't we? We live in a society where we have so much, and you know, and we basically find ourselves, compared to the rest of the world, very rich. And the scripture here tells us that there are these treasures on earth. It could be furniture. Do you have furniture in your home? How many of you have a couch? Okay, most of you. When we first got married, I remember my wife and I went over to the youth pastor of our church. He just got married. And we went over to his house. He had this beautiful apartment. He had all this nice furniture. And I'm thinking, man, this is really nice. And everything we owned was hand-me-downs. You know, we got married. Someone said, hey, I got a couch you can have. And we had this couch that had leaves all over it. And we kept that thing for years. We had two end tables that did not match. You know, and we just had these things. But I looked at this friend of mine. I said, man, you guys got it nice. This is all right. By the way, that couple divorced, which is another thing whatsoever, you know, that has nothing to do with this. But it's fascinating that just because you have things doesn't make you a success in your marriage. And I find it fascinating that, you know, we value furniture. Now, if you really want to step up, what kind of car do you have? I mean, this is something you want to have. Boom, 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 man. You know, you drive down the street and everybody says, whoa, look at that. We still do this, but we have these vehicles that are rusting and they're falling apart. And, you know, I learned how to work on cars because I couldn't afford a good car. That didn't mean I didn't want one. You know, the scripture talks about the fact that it's not just money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money. And he that will be rich fall into a lot of temptations. See, that's where the coveting comes in. So you want to get this car and you want to have this thing that's souped up and it's four-wheel drive and you know, it's got all kinds of things. It actually talks to you and it actually does your driving for you and all kinds of things. So you want to have this. Or you may, you know, you understand that that is something that is a treasure on earth. Now let me bring this to something that you may not necessarily think about, but is your family valuable to you? Of course it is. What about your job? Is that a valuable thing to you? What about being liked? Is that valuable to you? You know, I want people to think well of me. You see, all of these things are treasures that we have on earth, and they're not always bad. These are things that God gives us. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from above. We put value to this paper that has a president on it. And it's got a number to it. And we value these things. But we have to be very, very careful that we do not covet those things. And there's nothing wrong with or liking material things, because we go to the Bible and we see that Abraham was a very rich man. I'm reading through Genesis. How many are reading through Genesis? So we're all reading through Genesis together, most of us. And I'm reading about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and they have all this stuff. And it's valuable to them. But yet, God blessed Abraham. We could talk about David and how he had things. And so just because you have things doesn't make it bad. But there are treasures on earth. And it tells us here in verse 20, though, in contrast to that, there are treasures in heaven. Now that's interesting, because the Bible tells us that there are things that are very valuable in heaven. And they're in contrast to the things that are valuable on earth. And he says in verse 20, lay up treasures in heaven. And it's important that we understand that the very fact that you are here in church tells me that you put some value on heavenly things, wouldn't you say? Now, unless you're just here because somebody made you, or you're kind of guilt-driven, you know, I better go, pastor's going to say something, which I will, not always. Sometimes people call me, I won't be in church. Now, sometimes I just say to myself, okay, well, we'll work on them for the next time. But the fact is, these are treasures in heaven. Let me give you one. How many of you, if you died right now, are 100% sure you go to heaven when you die? Did you raise your hand? Okay. I think I saw everybody's hand. Hope so. Is that valuable to you? Now, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish, should not perish, but have what? All right, so if you are saved, that means that Jesus died for your sins, you're a sinner, and as a sinner, you deserve to go to hell. But Jesus died on the cross for your sin. He became sin for you, who knew no sin, that we might be made right with God. And so when a person sees his sinful condition and by faith trusts in Jesus Christ to be their Savior, the Bible says they have everlasting life. Now that's valuable. So that means that if I died in my sleep last night, you get to be my age, you start wondering, when would that happen? Or you're driving down the road and boom, you hit a car, or some car comes off the road and hits you and you die. Well, that's very valuable to me to know that if I died in my sleep last night, I'd be in the presence of God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's valuable to me. And if you do not know, and if there's somebody listening online, if you do not know for sure when you die, you're going to go to heaven, you know, you need to get that figured out. And if you are saved, that is valuable. You're in the Sermon on the Mount. Let's go back to chapter 5. Chapter 5, look at verse 10, verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So in other words, you're being attacked as a person for doing right. Now he says, let me tell you, theirs is verse 10, the end of the verse, the kingdom of heaven. Look at verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. And notice this little expression, for my sake. In other words, here you are as a Christian and, you know, and you have decided I'm going to live for God and it doesn't matter what my unsaved friends or my unsaved family thinks of me, I'm going to do right. Now Jesus says in verse 11, you're blessed. And in verse 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Why? For great is your reward in heaven. That's how they persecuted the prophets. You know, I think it's very sad when people do not want to stand up for God. They don't want to stand up for Jesus because they could laugh at me. But blessed is the person who's willing not to be strange or to be weird, but to stand up for right because it's right. It's always right to do right. And it's important to do the right things for Jesus' sake. And if you'll do that, you're building up treasures in heaven. Look over to chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. Chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. Look at verse 6. When thou prayest, when you're praying, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Now, there's people who like to pray when other people are watching. Oh, look at me. Oh, mighty God. But to pray in secret is to have a personal walk with God. And he says, if you'll pray in secret, at the end of verse 6, says, thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward them, or reward thee openly. You know, what about reading your Bible? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, but his delight's in the law of the Lord, Psalm 1. And God says, that's a happy, blessed man. You're building rewards in heaven when you are reading your Bible and you're meditating on God's Word. Let me take you over to the book of Luke, chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. It tells us in Luke chapter 16, verse 9, I say unto you, and here we talked about mammon, your wealth. So he says in verse 9, I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. In other words, we're talking about this earthly material stuff. He said, make friends with that. Why? That when ye fail, that literally is the idea, when you die, when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. So you take time out of your schedule. We're all busy. And you say, I want to talk to people about Jesus. And maybe take some of your money and say, I'm going to take this person out to lunch. And I'm going to talk to them about the Lord. Or maybe you give money so that the missionaries that we support would be able to see people come to Christ. What you're doing there is making friends of your resources, whether it be your time or whether it be your money, so that one day when you go to heaven, they're going to say, thank you very much. So that's a heavenly reward. We're told in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, and I'll read that to you if you don't have time to look at that. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, says this. The Apostle Paul makes this comment. He says, what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? So we have the crown of rejoicing. Are not ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? You know what he's saying there? He's saying, you know, when I minister to souls and I am leading them to Christ, like Paul did, that one day they'll be in heaven and they'll say, man, that's wonderful. See, these are treasures in heaven. You being in church shows that you value spiritual growth, hopefully. And when you and I do things for God, God says, I'll reward that. That brings heavenly rewards. So what we're seeing here is a contrast. Do you see that? Now he says, don't lay up treasures on earth because he says that a moth will rust it. So those clothes, that coat that you have, and that's so wonderful, you notice that moths can eat those. Or those cars, rust can eat those. Or thieves can steal those. Don't lay up that treasure, but lay up treasures where moth or rust or thieves have no handle on. Are you seeking the spiritual or are you seeking the material? Jesus spoke a lot about money because people are very, very materialistic. Now that brings me to my second point, the priority of treasures. What is a priority? The very fact that he says, don't do this, but do this, he's showing that spiritual treasures have a priority over physical treasures. That's why in verse 33, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You see that? Look at verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, like clothing and food and shelter, God will take care of you. If he's able to take care of the birds, he's able to take care of you. So there is a priority. So what is the priority? The spiritual. Now hear me now, look at me. The spiritual is always more important than the physical. And if you were going to place a price on all your treasures, the spiritual should be more valuable than the physical. So, that coat that you loved so much that got you warm this morning, how much would you give for that? So if I came up to you and said, hey, I'll give you a dollar for that coat, would you give me that coat? You say, you got your own coat. But what if I said, hey, pull my wallet out here. I've got $500,000. I'll give you that $500,000 for that coat. Would you take it? Now, I won't insult you because you'd be crazy not to take it. Because $500,000 is worth a lot more than a coat. What about your clothing? How much would you give for that? How about that car out in the parking lot? You know, I am so oblivious to cars. Someone says, oh, there's so-and-so. I say, how do you know? Because that's their car. I don't even know what your car is. That's fine. I don't need to know unless I ride in it. Now, I know Joe's truck. Rode in that truck. You know. Now, when someone told me years ago that you can pay more for a truck or a car than you would your own house, I'd have said, you're crazy. You know how much I paid for my first house? $20,000. And turned around, sold that house, and made money off of it. Bought a house here in Manhattan. Turned around and sold it, made money off of that one, and we could go on. But how much would you get? If I said I have $1 billion, would you take $1 billion for that car? More than likely, unless you just felt sorry for me and didn't believe me, you'd say, duh, yeah. I'll take $1 billion for that, my car. Because I can buy a lot of cars for that. So it's valuable to you. All of us put a price tag on these things. Now, if I ask you this, how much would you take for your children? Now, I believe probably everybody in here would say, you couldn't give me enough money for my children. But unfortunately, there's some people who sell their children. How much would you give for your life? You know, I used to watch these shows that would have, the devil was seeking, if you give me your life, I'll make you famous and you have all kinds of money, and people sell their souls to the devil. Now, in the rock music industry, I still see videos of people who gave their souls to the devil to become famous. Now, Jesus said it this way, what's it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What can man give in exchange for his soul? Now, we all have, we say, I wouldn't give anything. But let me ask you an even harder question. What is more valuable, your family or God? Now, that's a tough question because Jesus said that if any man hate not his father's mother and brothers and sisters and yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. What was he saying there? He wasn't saying you need to literally hate your family, but he said your love for God should be so great that every other human relationship is like hate in comparison. So we ask the question, do I love my family more or do I love God more? What's the greatest commandment? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. What about, let's get this a little bit more practical. What about reading your Bible or watching that television program? I just didn't have time to read my Bible today. What, did you have time to watch that ball game? Did you have time to watch that show or read that novel that you've been wanting to read? Well, let me ask you a question. What's more valuable, football or Bible reading? Of course. We can answer it right. But the real question isn't so much how I answer it. The real question is, how do I live that? What about prayer or getting that project done? Now, hopefully you can do both. I have my prayer time, I'm going to get this project done. Or I have my Bible reading and I'll watch this football game. But sometimes it comes down to a choice, doesn't it? This is what Jesus is getting at. What is your priority? Let me ask you this. What is more valuable, going to church or to the football game? Well, or what about giving somebody the gospel or my reputation? Now, we want to have a good reputation, but I don't want people laughing at me. What's more important? Someone laughing at you or you obeying the Lord in evangelism? Suffering for righteousness or self-preservation? I got my rights. I'm not going to go make things right with that person because, I'm just not going to stoop myself down to their level. Well, wait a minute. Jesus said, love your enemies. You see, my question to you is this. What are you putting a high priority on? The spiritual or the physical? And it really comes down to this. Look at verse 21. I'm not rambling. Where your treasure is, you've now revealed your heart. Now we could say, oh yeah, this is more important. But we have to ask ourselves this question. Is my family more important than doing right? Is God more important than my opinion? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto your own understanding. And the things you value is revealing your heart. This is why when we talk about stewardship, it's not about the church getting money. It's about where your value systems are. Because your heart will often, reveal to you what you really value. Now, it's a temptation, isn't it? Preacher, do you ever get tempted? All the time. But the fact is, if we give in to those temptations and value the material over the spiritual, guess what we have just done? We value the material over God. We have just committed idolatry. And this is why Colossians says that covetousness is idolatry. So we have the contrast of treasures. We see the priority of treasures. What about, thirdly, the development of treasures? Okay, in verse 22, you say, is Jesus now becoming an optometrist? Why is he talking about eyesight? Now let me read this to you. Verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. Is that right? Everybody close your eyes. Can you do that for me? See light or darkness? Well, you might see some lights that you've seen, but the light of the body. So you open your eyes. Wow. You can open them now. And you look and you say, wow, I can see light. And if your eye be single, and that means whole, that means to be clear, your body shall be full of light. Now I have a niece that's blind. How many met Wendy? Wendy's been here a time or two. It's been some time. Wendy is blind. How old is Wendy now, Annie? Yeah, so she was always a little girl. Now she's 50. Born blind, lived all her life blind. Now, if thine eye be evil, verse 23, in other words, there's something blocking your eyesight. Your body is going to be full of darkness. But if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, boy, this is he. Now, what he's talking about, he's not becoming an optometrist here. He's saying physical eyesight is compared to spiritual eyesight. And if you are blinded by money, things, possessions, so much so that you turn and make the physical more important than the spiritual, he said, boy, you're really, really blind spiritually. And so the idea here is that the more you focus your attention on something you value, the more you will value it. And the more you focus on the mammon, because you cannot serve God and mammon at the same time. The more you focus on the mammon or the wealth and the materialism or the things on this earth, the more you're going to value it. Now, TV advertisers, and I say TV, but internet advertisers, man, they're good. They are so good. Do you ever get on one of those videos and they go on, they talk about if you do this, your life will change, everything will be wonderful. Buy it! Now, sometimes that may be a good thing, but they can really make it look good. This is what Satan did to Jesus, right? He took him upon the mountaintop and said, look at all the riches. All of this can be yours if you'll fall down and worship me. I'm so glad Jesus didn't fall for that one. But there's a lot of people that will focus on these things so much that they're willing to sacrifice what they know is right in order to get that thing. This is why you must be careful about what you allow to enter into your eyes. Sometimes you look at some of this stuff and you say, why are they even talking about that? I don't even want to look at that. I don't even care. Or, wow, look at that. And you get so enamored by that. And the more you do that, the more it's going to affect your value system. So, what does God say? God says, as a man thinketh in his heart, your heart being your person, not just the emotional, but your thoughts and your will, your thinking, that's what the heart reflects. And as a man thinks in that way, that's who he is. And we have to be very careful because what we are revealing to God is, I really live for things. Now, that is why we need to be careful. And that's why it tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:5, to cast down imaginations and every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And bring it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. We've got to guard our thoughts. And that's why in Colossians, as we read in this in our bulletin today, he says, set your affections on things above and not on the things of this earth. Seek those things which are above and set your affections on that which is above. So if we focus all our attention on money, guess what? Money is more valuable to us than God. But if we value all our attention or focus our attention on God, God can bring money in the right perspective. Money's not the issue. The issue is where your heart is. If you focus all your attention on self, others will be sacrificed. But if you put all your attention on others, you'll sacrifice for others. If all your attention is focused on your job, it will affect you in your walk with God. But if all your focus is on the things of God, your job is just a tool. You know what a job is? You know, I remember Dan Murphy. He was, someone who was in our church in our early years. And he basically said this. He said, "I do not live to work. I work to live." Now, what was he saying? He's saying that I work my job in order to make ends meet and to serve the Lord. I don't live for that job. What is he saying? He's saying that our treasure should be on the things above and not on the things of this earth. You get that out of priority, and you'll find yourself being, without you even realizing it, an idolater. So my question to you is this: where's your treasure? Where is it? Where's your heart leading you? What do you think about the most? What do you enjoy the most? What do you intend to do? What is your goal in life? What is it that's going to reveal your heart? And I hope that we in this stewardship month would just reflect on that. That this is not an issue of who's going to have the most things in life. It's an issue about where our heart is. And where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Now, Lord, we ask that you would work in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to truly put you first. And if there be somebody here today that said, you know, I've had my priorities all wrong, and I ask God that you would just help me. Help me to make my priorities right. And I ask, Lord, that you would, if there be someone here or someone listening online that does not know Jesus as their Savior, that they would be saved. And those who are saved, I pray that you would help them to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Guide us, Lord. Protect us. Lord, we're all subject to the temptation of things. And you've given us the opportunity to live in a society where we're able to have a lot of things. Help us, Lord, to not get our priorities wrong. And we'll praise you for it. Let's stand to our feet with our head bowed and our eyes closed. The pianist is going to play. And maybe God has dealt with your heart and you say, I just need to deal with the Lord. My heart's been in the wrong place. And I want to make things right with God. If that is your heart's desire, one of the ways you can make things right with God is to come and just tell the Lord, Lord, forgive me. Help me. Whatever your need is, if you need to be saved, we'd love to show you in the Bible how you can be 100% sure you're going to heaven. Whatever your need is, you come as the pianist plays. 301. Let's close with that hymn this morning. 301, Make Me a Stranger. What a true prayer that should be in our hearts to the Lord. And if you mean it in your heart, pray this to the Lord. 301. Make me a stranger on earth, dear Savior. Make me a thank you for coming this morning. I hope you'll be back this evening. Pastor Nathan will be doing a study on Psalm 119. I'm looking forward to that, so you come be with us. Choir will be meeting at 5 p.m. I trust that you'll be on time for that, and we thank you for coming. Pastor Nathan, would you close us, please, in prayer?
Lord, we thank you that you give us such clear direction in your word, where each one of us might be tempted to value different things. In this life, we all have different tastes and different pleasures we each enjoy. I pray that our treasures would be biblically informed, or that spiritual treasures would be truly where our heart is and what it values. Lord, thank you so much for your word. I pray that we would apply it to our lives. We would search our hearts and recognize where we need to change. Lord, keep us safe. We pray that you would bless those that are here. Bring us back this evening. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.